know, you would think I'm almost a year into doing this show, and I still do almost everything on the fly. Like, I rarely, for this show, because it's so much more relaxed, you know, we might talk about a story, and I'll try to bring up the story, whether it's from our site or another site. Screw all other sites, LRM or die. No. other than that, like, I don't usually do a whole lot of notes taking. However, the notes I took for our last call podcast was insane. Like, I sometimes had like 5 pages of notes for a Star Wars movie, and it's crazy when it's like that. And then interviews, if I'm doing an interview with a writer director, I try to do a lot of research and base my questions around the research on them. There might be little notes written off to the side, but it's usually just all of the research develops the questions. Like, I went my interview with Mike Stackpole. That was, like, of course, I had all the I knew a lot from reading his books about his own style and characters and stuff, but I didn't know so much about the things I hadn't read and what is, like, before he started writing Star Wars novels, what else did he do? So I had to go in and research all that. And
interviews like that are cool because you could tell, like, you were the perfect person to do it because you're a fan and you've read so much of his work. So you could, you know, hit him on the fly with a, you know, if a question popped in your head or whatever.
Yeah. You know, stuff like that. What I appreciated was throwing little things in there, like, his own website, or an old website had it listed that he had only played, Battle, Tech twice, and I think he said he won both of them or lost both of them or something like that. And I asked him, you know, is that still true? Like, that's what in the music industry we call a deep cut, that you know what RPG the guy has played and how many times he played it, and he updated us, told us, you know, that he actually plays more often, has a much different record, and that he plays with a set of mechs, a lance or whatever of the clan that he created when he wrote BattleTech books. So that was pretty cool. I liked doing that. So, but this show is usually, unless there's something big we're going to cover, is usually on the fly. And that's because we don't know what the news is is going to bring. And I'll be honest with you guys, there's a lot more Star Wars news to talk about, but I'm kind of burned out on Star Wars. There's yet another
casting
for the theorized live action Rebels or Clone Wars sequel spinoff or whatever from the Mandalorian. Mark Hamill had something to say about backlash to the sequel trilogy. Disney releases an official video for the Rise of the Resistance, even though one of the parks had already, I think California was already running it, and this is for Florida.
Both parks have been running it at this before the pandemic. Uh-oh. Yeah. I only know that because I follow Disney YouTubers.
Then what the fuck is the point of releasing an official video? And they skipped parts of the ride, even like what the
stupid
fuck?
Because there's if you want to see it, it's up. It's been up for months. Well, I'm saying
go
they're
see
official
HD ones. POV rides and Brian and I are thrill ride guys. My wife and I are thrill ride seekers, or at least before my current condition took hold and has me stuck in a recliner or bed. Believe it or not, there was a time where me just walking, because I got a really, really good stride for when I do ruck marches in the Army, or when I did ruck marches in the Army, you know, you got to do 12 miles in Army standard was 4 hours, but I try to keep myself to the higher standard of under 3 hours, you know, 12 miles for 40 pounds on your back, plus water. So you always had to take your water out before your bag was weighed. And there's no cheating that you're going to drink 5 pounds away, you know? And then, so like 40, 45 pounds on your back. And so I got a good gait, you know, a good stride. And Brian, at an amusement park we went to in Ohio, I wonder if you guys can guess which one. I remember you happen to jog sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
To keep up.
And that I was not in my worst shape at that point. I was actually in okay shape. But
yeah.
I'm getting back there. I lost a little self happiness. Yay, Brian. I lost 10 pounds in the last month. Yeah, been
good.
Getting back in shape.
I need to get back on my keto diet. I kind of got into my own little depression eating and put on some weight, but that's okay. That's okay. We all do that shit. Cycles happen. And God, I had really missed peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You can't do that on keto the same way. There's like a flatbread, like a lavish flatbread that you can have that's real low on carbs, but it's like eating PB&J from like an MRE.
Oh,
so
I've had that.
MRE, for those of you that don't know, is a meal ready to eat, and it's the it's been the current version of food rations for the military, the standard ration. There are other rations for like people that are going to be out longer, people that are going to be behind enemy lines. They'll get more like concentrated protein things and stuff like that. You and I are old enough to remember when our fathers had like the sea rats.
Oh yeah.
With the dehydrated peaches and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, my dad was. He worked with the food service in the military, so clearly I had lots of exposure to the.
Did you like I loved the dehydrated peaches as like eating it like a cracker, like.
Yes, that's exactly what it was like. Yeah.
Yeah, but you could add water to it and it would become like a fruit cup. I like Ranger pudding or food pudding. All sorts of nifty little tricks and there was actually during my heyday, the mid late 2000s through the early 2010s. There were some good ones. We got a buffalo chicken one, way too much sauce though, but decent. The cheeseburger with bacon cheese sauce was decent.
See, I never anything with any bread or crackers or anything. I always turned me off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, the peanut butter and crackers, man. That's where it was at.
I hated any of the attempted bread or making prolonged, you know, bread. But you're right. A lot of the mains, a lot of the different main courses were pretty good.
Yeah, they got good. I remember telling my father about some of the stuff that I was eating during training, and he's like, "Dear God, we never had any of that." So, good morning, everybody, and welcome to LR Military Food Talk today with Kyle and
Brian.
And yeah, it's this show's fun because we get to have oddball conversations like that. And I do want to. I hate. It's not Mandalorian, so at least it's not Mandalorian. I do want to talk about what Mark Hamill had to say.
So you have to tell me because that's literally the one thing I didn't read.
Oh, okay.
I saw it up on the site, and I was just like, eh.
"Well, that's good." So get a raw reaction from Brian, and I'll set this up with we know that Luke commented with Rian Johnson on stage. It was like a big ballsy move in a presser or conference convention years ago that he had told Johnson during the making of the Last Jedi that they needed to think about the fans. What would the fans think about? You know, we got to think about this character and how the fans are connected to the character. And Rian Johnson told him, "No, we got to think about our movie." And Luke, you know, wasn't very happy. Or Mark Hamill wasn't exactly happy with that, or didn't appear happy with that.
And that bugged me because, you know, Rian Johnson, you have to be in Mark Hamill's shoes or think about his shoes. Like, this is a guy that's lived with this since 77, or, you know, the fandom. I mean, he's been through every wave of this. People, you know, and even through the EU stuff. Remember, he was helping do commercials and, you know, helping promote some of the books, I think the New Jedi Order and stuff. This is a guy that's been every step of the way involved with Star Wars. He gets the brunt of the bitching and the complaining, whether he's a part of it or not. And so he knows the fan base. So yeah, when he has a commentary or on something dealing with Star Wars, he's trying to make a point, and you blow him off. You know, to me, that's a short-sighted view on what the franchise is. You know, at least hear him out. You know,
it is, and I'll say it that because of this way, Rian Johnson might be a Star Wars fan, but he only sees Star Wars the way that he does. He doesn't see it the way I do. He doesn't see it the way you do. He apparently sees it the way Jammer does. but Mark Hamill, he sees the fandom. He sees it as I do. He sees it as you do, because we say what we feel, and he hears us. He hears Jammer. He hears, you know what I'm saying? Like, he hears all the multiple points of view. And he gets it online, and he reads it on Twitter or YouTube, or hears it at Q&As at conventions and stuff like that. Sorry if my dog is barking. I think he gets fans more than a normal fan would. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, like, he gets more. Like I said, since he's been dealing with it since 77. I mean, he gets anything Star Wars related. We got to think about this. He can't go anywhere without somebody wanting to talk about Star Wars or have an opinion or whatever. It's consumes him. I doubt he can walk outside without somebody saying, "Oh, hey, you know, Luke Skywalker."
There might be the occasional Batman animated series Joker fan.
Oh, yeah. but you know, it's just such a big part of him. And I'm not saying, you know, my thing was more so, you know, right? Yeah, Rian Johnson wanted to make his movie, but he should have. The way he came off in some of that behind the scenes stuff, I didn't like it, and you know, I didn't like it at all. I'm just saying he should have handled it differently, I think. But
Well, that's hell, Mark Hamill had to tell him because there was no interaction between Hamill and 3PO, and he was going out there to, you know, for his last hurrah, and he's like, there's no way Luke, who hasn't seen 3PO in years, doesn't mention him. So Hamill had to convince Johnson to let him at least stop and wink at 3PO. Imagine that. Like, there was no interaction between the droid that helped kick it all off. Because remember, they were going to get 3PO first, and they were going to get a different droid that then broke on the way from the lot, and it was 3PO that suggested R2. He got a moment with R2, but he deserved a moment with 3PO as well. And Johnson wasn't gonna give it to him, but go listen to Jammer Cam and I and my discussion of the Last Jedi on the Last Call podcast, available on the LRM Online Podcast Network. If you go by SoundCloud, I've got the whole series in its own playlist. Not a endorsement of SoundCloud, just it's I don't know how to do the playlists for the other sites. Anyways, so speaking with the Daily Beast, Mark Hamill had this to say. I don't know when over the period of time fandom became so contentious, but people are really opinionated, and you can't help but be opinionated yourself because you've lived with the character so long. So whether it was episode 7, 8, or 9, I'd have disagreements, and I would say to whoever it was, well, I don't know if that's right, but everyone shares the same goal. You want to make the best movie you can. What is that saying to you, Brian?
I'm rereading it. I don't know. I don't know what he's trying to say, to be honest with you. Because he's not really making a final point. I mean, he's just sort of commenting on how extreme the polarization of the fandom has become. And I think that last line, you know, everyone sharing the same goal, you want to make the best movie you can. I mean, it's just me interpreting it. Between those three movies, nobody, I think, came to that set and said, let's make a shitty movie or let's shit on Star Wars. I mean, you can make an argument. I mean, I've heard people try to make an argument that Rian Johnson did, but I really don't think he did. Like I said, I don't like what his vision was, but I don't think he was outright trying to ruin it. I don't. I really don't.
Yeah. He wasn't like a William Shatner double agent, like trying to destroy the wars and then go support the Trek.
You know, so I think, you know, reading that last line, that's what I got from that. He was basically saying, you know, we in our own way we tried. And let's get this straight, just specifically for Mark Hamill. Everything he did in these new films was fine.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, and we've talked about this, the one thing I don't have an issue with in Last Jedi was Mark Hamill or his performance or even his character arc. And I know that's a point where everybody hates the movie, which is really funny because I have a lot of issues with that film. That's not one of them. But most people who despise that movie, they hate what they did with Luke. So even amongst the fandom of those of us who have issues with the movie, people have issues for different reasons. Mm-hmm. So, you know, tying into the whole how polarized fans have become. But I've gotten to the point now, and I'd say in the last probably month, probably since Mandalorian has come and gone, and, you know, I've had time to reflect on that. And I think we've discussed this. As far as this current trilogy, I'm just sort of like, yeah, I'm done with it. I'm not angry. I'm not sad. It's just, yeah, I don't need it.
Yeah.
I'm good. Well, you know, Mandalorian's looking good. I'm excited. Taiki Waititi is doing another a new Star Wars movie at some point. That sounds like, you know,
interesting.
Interesting. So yeah. Star Wars has a future, and I don't ever have to, like you said, watch those movies if I don't want to. And if they're on, fine. And if they're not, okay, I'm not going to necessarily go out of my way to turn them on.
So after Mando season two, I'm going to try and experiment, because I want to see what Mando season two sets up as far as, does it give us any more idea of the politics of after the Civil War. I'm going to try to watch, not all in one day or anything like that, but I'm going to watch 4, 5, 6, 7, 9. Mm. And I think that'll likely be the last time I watch 9, but I want to see if 9 follows 7 better than it follows 8, and I have a feeling it will.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to try here someday in the near future after Mando season 2. I got stuck on the line, whether it was, you know, any of the movies, I'd have disagreements, and I would say to whoever it was, well, I don't know if that's right. I think that's him slipping in, hey guys, it wasn't my fault, I'm with you, kind of like when some of the lines he's said earlier, and then at the last line, he makes sure he doesn't, you know, piss anybody off. He says he's, there was an article a week or two ago that said that he believes he's done with Star Wars, but he could always come in and do voice work for a game or a cartoon or something like that, you know. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised for him to do that, because then he doesn't have to get in shape. He doesn't have to, you know, get dressed up in a costume. He just has to show up to a recording studio and record his voice. So that's what I got from that, is that's his dog whistle to the fans. Hey, I'm actually on your guys' side. I'm not that happy. I don't think he's very happy with everything the way it turned out.
No, I don't. What do you think about, and I don't want to get too much into this because this is a topic we could talk about forever, but what do you think about taking someone like a Dave Filoni and saying, similar to what he did with the Clone Wars cartoon, hey, let's do an animated series, or maybe even they have the ability to do live action. Let's take Rey, Finn, and Poe and do a series. Doing a little adventure. Maybe it could be a one story arc thing, so maybe you do a 5-6 episode live action season, or maybe you do an animated thing. And do what he did with Clone Wars, where he took characters like Anakin and made them make sense as characters.
Well, I mean, there's not really a lot of empty space between
you would be the it would be post to do I would do
it'd oh be post. It would be post yeah. Oh, I don't know if that could fix it as much. The reason why the Clone Wars is appreciated so much and it fills in a lot of shit that the prequels didn't get to cover. You know, we don't really, if you never watch Clone Wars, you don't really care about Obi-Wan and Anakin's relationship, because we never really get to see it, you know?
Yeah.
And Lucas just didn't know how to show that while showcasing all this other stuff, this other exposition and all these other storylines. There should have been a time gap in episode one. Like,
you could fill that year. Remember, was it a year between last?
Yeah, it's about a year.
So I think, and I bring it up because we've brought it up several times in the last couple of weeks, if you've been listening to LR Mornings, about how Anakin Skywalker now has sort of a fan base, mm-hmm. and it's built mostly around, you know, the success of the Clone Wars animated series and how he was portrayed in that, not, you know, his limited performance in the prequels, in my opinion. But I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, these are three interesting characters. I really do enjoy the characters. They just were not necessarily given enough to do. And then you completely take them, separate them, you know, in Last Jedi. completely, which I think was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, if you, Dave Filoni, here's a guy who understands Star Wars, look what he did with the Clone Wars and Rebels. If he had some time and he was able to sit down and craft a story with these characters, I think you could have something special. And from Disney's point of view of money and merchandise, it would be nice if 5 years from now there is a love for those characters and people want to buy shit with their images on it.
Yeah.
Because as it stands, the current trilogy, nobody cares about the merch.
No.
And so I think you could change that. And you could also, you know, Kylo Ren was doing stuff during that year too. So
yeah. And you could pay off on that last line Luke said to Kylo, "See you around, kid." And then I was really expecting kind of like what was supposed to happen in Trevorrow's script, you know, Luke, while he teaches Rey as a Force ghost, he's haunting Kylo Ren. Yeah. And maybe we can in this theoretic cartoon, you do show Luke visiting Kylo Ren.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know. So, I like your idea, man. I like it a lot. What would it be called? Star Wars. Let's see. Star Wars, the End of the Resistance, or Star Wars, the Rise of the First Order. No, that makes it sound like it's at the beginning. I don't know. I can't figure out the title right now, but I like the idea a lot. If you guys like the idea out there, mention it in the comments below. Tell us what you think. Damn, dude, that's a really good idea.
Yeah,
and it could potentially make some of the other stuff from episode 8 make more sense, and some of the stuff from 9 make more sense too.
Exactly. Literally, like Clone Wars. Clone Wars was sort of that repair kit for the prequels, and you could do the same, you know.
Yeah. 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 You really, really could. And like you said, not even really long. Because it's only a year or so, maybe six, maybe you do 12 30-minute animated shows.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be more interested in watching that than I am in watching Clone Wars. Because I still haven't watched all of it. Yeah, I'd definitely watch it over Cassian Andor. I still can't believe that whose idea was that shit? I don't know. If it was Kathleen's idea, she needs to shut up. I watched the Disney Gallery episodes with the Mandalorian with Filoni and Favreau, and then part of it was with some of the crew and Kathleen Kennedy, and then some of it was just the directors. Kennedy, she fucking talks out of line, out of order. Like, it's Favreau's show to run. She's there as a guest on his show, and he was trying to set up. He had put a question out there, and he was trying to set up, hey, I want it to go around in this circle, and she just jumped on to be the first to answer, and then she would interject into other people's answers, like, holy shit, lady, do you not know how these things fucking work? Right now, you're not the boss. Right now, you're a guest on a show, you know?
Do you think, because I've held the belief that her power is, like you said, as far as that show is very limited
for a while.
Yeah, very limited. Do you think that had she had, if it wasn't a Favreau, you know, that she that show would have gotten delayed because she would have demanded rewrites?
I don't know. Maybe the rewrites are a good thing. I don't know, man. I I think she's been out of power, really, truly out of power since Solo. I really don't think she had that much over episode 9. I think a lot of that was Iger saying, you fucking go back on the internet and look at all the fan theory shit after episode 7 and do that.
That's what it felt like.
That's what I think. I don't think she's really had much power since Solo. I really don't. Do you?
I think she has a little. And the reason I say that is, looking at Cassian Andor, looking at Obi-Wan, I think she's the reason.
Yeah, some of the things that those were greenlit.
Some of that stuff's happening. No, you're right. I think with episode 9, she was partially involved, but that was such a mess of a production from a... I mean, it was a lot of last-minute stuff. You know, they were really... Abrams... People got to remember, Abrams did not want to do that movie. He was forced to do the film. Literally.
Basically, yeah.
You know, and so this is a guy coming in who's a competent filmmaker, obviously, but did not want to do it, had to, and, you know, did what he did. But I don't completely blame that one on her, that particular film, but all these delays I do, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And all of the losses, she seems like she's tough to work with, and from what I saw... on that episode, I could see some of why she might be tough to work with. So I'll let you all make your own assessments after you watch it on Disney Plus. It's very much worth watching. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I'm a big behind the scenes stories guy and a big documentary guy. So Disney Gallery, the Mandalorian, it's 2 30-some-odd-minute episodes on Disney Plus. Go check it out. That's it, man. It's Friday, yeah. And we're done. So everybody, make sure you go check out lrmonline.com for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. I'm going to be trying my hardest to get some content up for you guys this weekend, and slowly get back into that. Been dealing with some health issues, and it's made it rough. So I apologize that the website is not running 7 days a week. I used to hate this website for not running 7 days. So I'd be so pissed. I told Jammer when I joined, I was like, I used to hate, cause LRM was always I'd say around 2012, LRM became my site as a fan. And I still looked at other sites, but like my first go-to was LRM, and there'd never be like something big would happen and I'd have to go to like Coming Soon or Superhero Hype or, I'm going to try, guys. I really am. And, of course the YouTube channel and the LRM Online Podcast Network, great stuff. Check it all out. Like, share, subscribe, and give us input, because the more input you guys give us, the more output we can give you. Brian, shamelessly plug yourself.
You can find me on YouTube. The channel is Pulp Mythos, PULPMYTHOS. New content will be up this Sunday evening, so check it out.
I hope people listen to the end for my sarcastic jokes and stuff. Yeah, you guys can abuse me over at Twitter at Kyle Malone, and have fun weekend. Be safe out there. Wash your hands, and we'll talk to you Monday.